This is CliffCentral.com.
It's the Gareth Cliff Show. It is the 16th of July, 2019. Good morning. I'm Sia and this is Leanne.
Yes, I'm here today. Very happy to report.
As opposed to?
Not here yesterday. Very happy to report.
Leanne, do you want to explain?
I wish I could even have blamed it on wine or something like that.
But a very typical Leanne story in that way. Yeah.
But no, it was a very boring watch a bit of Orange is the New Black, which I'm now catching up on, and went to bed and must have just been really exhausted and slept through my alarm.
Well, isn't this a, well, I say good thing for you, but bad thing for us, because a little while ago you were still struggling to sleep. Now it seems like you're getting too much sleep.
No, I think it's just one of those things. It's busy times at work and, I just obviously needed to catch up on some Z's.
Well, we're glad you're here this morning. Gareth is on his way. He's just stuck in a bit of traffic. There's an accident on the highway, but he'll be joining us in a couple of minutes. So it's only our second show without Ben.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it doesn't feel like we miss him as much yet. It just kind of feels like he's not on yet.
I already feel his void because in the past 2 days there's been so many sporting developments.
Actually,
what can Ben say? What can Ben say about this after Sunday?
Huge sporting weekend.
People were watching bumper to bumper sports.
Cricket,
and then yesterday we heard about the passing of Mark Batchelor, the former soccer player. I don't know anything about what's going on there.
There's Custer Semenya's, there's been development there. This is the only reason why we really miss Ben.
Oh, no. The only reason? I think there are a couple more reasons, Leanne. Gogo, are you much of a sporting person?
Not too much, Sia. I do play sport or two, but I'm more into cricket than soccer.
But you know your way around a sporting conversation,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I can figure it out.
So did Mark Batchelor, like, mean anything to you? Did you know him in his heyday of Bafana Bafana?
You know when you said Mark Batchelor?
Yeah.
I looked at you funny. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, okay. Why? Did I mispronounce his name?
No. In my head, I thought Mark Boucher, and I was like, no, man, see ya. So it sounds familiar because of Mark Boucher, who's a cricket player.
Right.
But I've never heard of him, to be honest with you.
No, his name's very well known to me in my head. But, obviously we haven't really caught up with what his lifestyle's been like lately.
Mm-hmm.
I only knew of him when he was playing the sport.
Well, I have a new neighbor in my complex and we were making odd conversation. I was trying to be nice, welcoming him to the new place, and we were just chatting generally, and we got into discussing Mark Batchelor, and I just said, well, I don't really know who he is. I swear it could have been like me saying the earth is flat and your children are horrible. He was so stunned and shocked and offended. Goes like, you have no idea who Mark Batchelor is? this is a moment. Remember 9/11? You will remember where you were when you found out about Mark Batchelor's death. I'm like, I don't think so. So I thought it was just me. I thought, you know, he's more well known in that case. But it's quite a horrible way to go out.
It just sounds a little bit dodgy. Two guys on a motorbike. No act of crime besides the killing taking place, and no attempt at hijacking or anything like that.
It seems very intentional.
Yeah.
What actually happened, guys? Sorry, I'm not in the loop here.
Well, exactly that. And I mean, there's nothing more that's come out.
So police are currently investigating this, and they're calling it a murder case. Mark was attacked by two men that were driving a motorbike. This all happened in Olivedale, outside his house. And Mark was shot several times and he died inside his own car. The suspects then drove away without taking anything.
He had his gardener in the car. It was about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. He was giving his gardener a lift. I don't know. So it seems like it obviously was not expected at all. He was going about his daily duties. But it just seems a bit dodgy.
Sounds like a hit.
Yeah.
Sounds like a hit. We've seen it before.
Yeah, and you never want to make a mountain out of a molehill when you don't know the facts just yet. But a lot of reports are now saying that Mark was friends with a lot of people in the underworld, they're calling it. But, you know, we don't know just yet. Mm. But looking at the facts, currently it does look a little suspicious.
Yeah.
This is following even after what has been happening with James Small and how he's died as well. It just seems like there's a lot of sporting conversation that I just don't understand at all. Well, let's go to your messages. You can text us on 079-748-2090. And someone here who did not leave their name. Oh, Dumelo says, it's 10 past six. I had to sit through and listen to that Future knockoff waiting for you.
Oh, dear.
Said, thank you, Leanne, for showing up. We were stuck with that chattering animal yesterday.
Which one is that?
You missed it. Damon Calvary.
Oh, yes, of course, in the beginning. Yes, of course, yeah. Subconsciously, I wonder if my body was telling me something. My brain was telling my body not to wake up.
Well, a lot of people are still
on about it.
They're talking about this. Devlin also says, don't lie, Leanne. You stayed at home because Damon was on the show.
Yeah, you see. And I did realize as it happened it was the day that Damon was on. And I had joked on Friday and said I might be sick on Monday. I cannot come in.
I thought, you know, it would have been a nice, sweet reunion, but it was great to catch up with Damon, actually.
I'm sure. Yeah. I would have liked to have been here, yeah.
He's lost a bit of weight.
Yeah.
He had a great, clean haircut when he came in yesterday. He didn't belch or burp as much.
As much.
As much is very important in this case, because I'll never forget the first time I was officially working with you guys, way back when, and I stepped into the studio in the morning and he opened the door and he left these red marks on the door handle. And I thought, what was this? We went into the production booth and he was eating, and this is easily like at 20 past five in the morning, he was eating a big bag of tomato Fritos.
Well, he used to call them Fritos, as if it had a double T.
And he was trying to show me the way things work and was trying to talk to me about everything. And he let out this massive burp.
Yes.
Right in my face. And that's all I could smell, mixed in with God knows what else he was eating. And I thought, okay, yeah.
He kept,
that's Damon,
in inverted commas, Fritos on the shelves. I mean, he kept them going. He fed their families with the amount that he ate.
Oh.
First thing.
I just don't understand it.
Oh, different beast.
I'm trying to look for a name. Oh, Fern here. Fern says, oh man, just watched Ben's farewell video. I'm in tears. He's a bit curmudgeonly, but always forthright and flippin' funny. I'm sorry that he's gone, but so grateful that Cliff Central remains, especially the morning show. Gareth, you drive me nuts at times, but listening to you is addictive. You're kind of like heroin.
Oh.
I guess that's a compliment.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well.
Leanne is back, yay. Pumi's insane giggling is dreadful, but I do enjoy her opinions, okay? And Canthan's dignity and intelligence can't be beaten. Please keep on doing what you're doing. It makes our days. So that's nice from Fern. Thank you. Mm. All right. Well, Leanne, what did you get up to this weekend, actually?
I went to a new restaurant that has opened up in Melville.
That's your hood?
Yeah. And it's actually quite close to home because it's in the family building. And it was just great to see how it was. I mean, we couldn't even get a table. We had to wait an hour because it's just so popular. And yeah, it was really nice to see some life in the building again and excitement in Melville. Not that that has ever died. Melville's always exciting.
Your definition of exciting as well.
Really good food. And it was lovely to be with family and friends. Otherwise, it was a bit of working, as per usual, and not much play, really.
See, what I still marvel at around Melville is it's a year-round partying place as well.
And week-round as well. It's not just weekends.
Are you now just accustomed to that? Like, easily on a Wednesday evening, you can be at home trying to get some sleep, but there's some people who are like bar hopping. And literally you can do that. Melville, start at the top of the road and go to the next and go to the next because there's some place that has some tequila special.
Yeah.
And then the next place has this pizza and wine special. I think it's too much.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy. I know that the Melville Residents Association is stepping in and not easily supporting liquor licenses. It's just they're trying to control the caliber of restaurant or bar that comes in. They're also trying to get there are two bars there which seem to spill over into nightclub territory or like disco territory where they don't have the appropriate licenses. So there's that. And then
when last did I hear the word disco?
Yeah, and it's weird because they've got a disco ball and they call it
disco. Oh, no. That sounds like it needs to go back to the 80s.
Yeah. And funnily enough, it's right next door to a kid-friendly, like super kid-friendly restaurant. But yeah, it's a mixed bag, but very interesting place to live.
Mm. To say the
least. Never a dull moment. Never, ever, ever.
Oh, no. I'm not complaining at all. I just need this peace and quiet that I have. And so even if it's a bit of what, like World War VII right now with my new neighbor, we're just going to, you know, grin and bear it right now.
Right.
Ah, Gareth has made it. Hello. Even though there were like 40,000 things going on the road. Good morning.
Yeah, we'll eventually get this right where all of us are actually here at the beginning of the show one of these days.
We'll do that.
Now, you know what? I left the normal time this morning, and then I just saw red lights on the highway and thought, okay, well, this will be a little delay. But there was supposedly an accident.
Why did you say supposedly?
Because I didn't actually see anything. They must have cleared it. Mm. But we were sitting for about 25 minutes, and yesterday I was stuck for an hour and a half. So it's obviously traffic week for me, so I got to learn patience, I've got to learn to be calm in the traffic, and today I was, and yesterday. So I'm making improvements. From a personal growth point of view...
Oh, look at you, Deepak Chopra.
No, I mean, you suddenly realize, I often joke that if you feel insignificant, and you feel like you don't matter in the world, just see what happens if you create an accident on the highway.
Mm.
Suddenly... hundreds of thousands of people are thrown into disarray.
You'll even make it onto the radio.
Hour and a half. Was this yesterday going home?
Yeah, I left, had a lunch appointment, came back here, caught up with some emails, and then left somewhere around 1:30, and I was stuck until 3.
No way.
And there was a truck that had gone into the middle. You know, that separation between the two highways.
Oh, no.
And this truck, I don't know, it looked like whatever happened there. This whole thing was crumpled up like you cannot believe. And, I mean, we were all just sitting and kind of moving an inch at a time. Oh. You know, it's the most frustrating thing. So if you are stuck somewhere further back than I was this morning, or if this is something that happens to you regularly, you have to teach me how to be patient. because I'm making some inroads. I definitely have learned to calm myself down. I don't get road rage as much anymore. And it also, I mean, I was listening to you guys that kind of made it a bit better. If you're listening to something that's interesting,
right,
it takes your mind off the fact, and you can't, what are you going to do anyway? You know, like you can't make the cars in front of you dematerialize. And
yeah, you can't just put on your helicopter propeller and lift up and rise up above the rest.
No, exactly.
But that still doesn't stop people from pulling zap signs and screaming in cars.
It's kind of ridiculous.
That.
Listen, I was listening to you talking about Mark Batchelor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I got pictures. I'm on this group with a bunch of people who are like, they just know everything by the looks of things, because I got like this picture of him in the car.
Oh my God.
With the bullet holes and stuff. Oh yeah, yeah. Now that was definitely a hit. And Mark Batchelor, who, he was one of those people, and there are a few people in Johannesburg that when I see them in a place, I just want to get the hell out of there. He was a kind of an unpleasant human being. Mm. I mean, not that anyone deserves what's happened to him, but he was definitely mingling with some other unpleasant human beings. And in the Johannesburg underworld, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Mm.
There's some very, very ugly stuff that goes on in this city that you don't know about, that I don't know about, and I'm actually only too happy I don't know about it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm quite glad that I'm through.
And I heard you guys talking and see us saying, you know, he passed away. No, he didn't. He died in a hail of bullets. Passing away is what your granddad does when he's got, like, liver cancer and he's, bye-bye, everybody, and the family's gathered round, and, you know, there's some classical music playing, and your dad, my grandfather passed away last night. I'm so sorry. That's terrible. Mark Batchelor died in a hail of bullets. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
He was killed.
You know? I mean, really.
And it's just so weird that you almost feel scared to mention all the things that he was involved with and the people that he was involved with. You feel scared for yourself to mention Mikey Schultz, Nafiz Modak. You know,
it's just, and I mean, I thank God I don't know any of these guys personally. And I haven't counted them from time to time, but I'm just polite and I get the hell out of there as quickly as I can. It's none of my business.
Yeah.
You know?
But doesn't it make you now also side-eye your friends who are able to get these photos?
No. I think it's great. This stuff spreads. In fact, Mandy Wiener on Twitter was saying these pictures are going around like wildfire, and they were. There's a network. I mean, like, these days with social media, it's possible to disseminate a story faster than any news network in the past ever would have been able to, because you have a million reporters out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And anyone who drives past is taking pictures, and you know, before you know it, you get a much more comprehensive view of the story. It's not always accurate because there's also a lot of nonsense and fake news.
Mm.
But this is the world we live in. And it is really exciting to live in a world where you get this information as it happens. I mean, some people don't like to get the info, and I suppose you can opt out of these groups.
Mm. But it's unavoidable.
It led to some interesting conversations because you know, there are people in this country who have reps for being, you know, they have a reputation for being really scary and dodgy and dangerous people. And invariably what happens to them is they end up dying in a horrible way. Oh. You know, if you're going to mix with people who are in the underworld, in the criminal underworld, and people who are known for being violent, the chances are very high that you will die a violent death. Yeah. And it will not be pleasant. I mean, I don't know. Nobody's talking about what happened to the gardener who was in the car with
him.
Yeah, I don't know whether this guy escaped. I don't know whether he's alive, whether he's dead. He's the obvious eyewitness for all of this.
I didn't see any of that. And if he was innocent in all of this and just was there to collect money or something from Mark, what a day at the office.
But if he was in the passenger seat just looking at the bullets in through the window, there's no way that he would have been missed. He must have been out the car. I'm not sure. I suppose it'll all come to light.
Well, the weirdest thing is it led to a conversation on another friend's group, because obviously, the one friend group finds out about the other one and about what's going on the other one because someone sends something.
Mm.
And then everybody's talking about, like, you know, explain what happens when bullets hit people and, you know, stuff like that. And it was like a forensic conversation. I blame these shows, like these CSI shows and everything. Everybody's so cold and callous about it now.
Yeah,
so
it makes
do the bullets
us a bit
go
numb.
Right through the person's body, or, you know, can you stop them with something? Do they stop with the bones? What a conversation to be having, you know?
We've been taught to want to find out about trajectories and blood spatter. And
right.
We want to know the facts because we know that you can find them out.
And sometimes all of that information is a little bit too much, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if it might be hashtag too soon, but I just heard a horrible joke around this.
Oh, no. Okay. Go on. It's never too soon. Not on this show.
Did you hear about Mark Batchelor all over the news? He's
no.
also all over the dashboard.
Oh, God. All right.
All
no,
over
that's
the car,
horrible.
The chair.
All right, I think give it a day, Sia. You know, actually, I can't believe it came from Sia of all people.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Exactly.
By the way, it wasn't.
I told you it was hashtag too soon.
It wasn't messy like that. If you've seen the pictures, you'll see he's just.
Clean shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been avoiding it. I don't want to see
And then
let's pictures.
Also remember that he was a witness in the Oscar Pistorius murder trial.
Yeah.
He testified about
mm-hmm.
Oscar's temper.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
Look, I'll tell you, here's the thing that nobody
connected in
some
there's
some
way.
Things that nobody wants to discuss this morning, but one of them is there are a bunch of people who are very excited that Mark Batchelor died last night. That's an ugly reality this morning. There are a lot of people who are wandering around having a good start to their day because they think this is great news. Yeah, it's weird. This is how the world works. There are actually people like that out there who are willing to, first of all, kill you because they've had some kind of beef with you, and second of all, to be quite happy that you're gone.
Well, if it is a hit, there's someone who's glad that they made the right payment.
Yeah. And he must have said something to someone that was just too much. And, you know, this is where you go. This is where it ends up. Anyway, all right, lots of other things to get to this morning. We're going to check in on the five things you need to know today, the headlines that are in the news. Shall we take a look at those straight away?
Yep.
All right.
I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of Mark Batchelor updates today.
Yeah. Yeah, not him, obviously, because...
No, not today.
Yeah. But there'll be lots of... Yeah, there'll be updates, let's just put it that way. Okay, and then, you know, I saw this thing yesterday. This probably deserves a mention, too, because you guys were talking about Ben... Ben wrote this thing, and I saw Darren Scott had written a thing about how disappointed they are in the media making the James Small story so filthy talking about the sex club and everything else. But, I mean, that's kind of the news' job, is they do dig, and they are scurrilous, and they go through people's trash, and this is what they do. And, you know, you can't have it on the days that you – like, you're pleased when they find out something about a politician who's been rotten. But when it's your sports hero, suddenly you're upset.
But also, again, there's social media. There were eyewitnesses. There were people who saw him being brought in naked. There were people who saw the woman screaming for help. The gun pulled.
It was kind of unavoidable. It became a bit of a mess. And it's a hell of a messy way to go. But I don't think it's nearly as bad as the way Mark Batchelor went. So, you know, if I had to choose a James Small exit in a sex club or a hail of bullets, guess which one I'm taking. It's not really much of a competition, is it?
Mm.
Damon actually was the one who put it in perspective for me. Says that James was divorced and single, and so why can't he go to a sex club and enjoy himself?
Absolutely. The shooting of an EFF branch chairperson in Cape Town did not appear to be random. So there's another assassination attempt by the looks of things. This is according to the EFF. And he received threats to his life a year ago, a close friend said on Monday. Olani Jack, who is 35, was gunned down in his bedroom in Tembani in the early hours of Sunday morning. The friend, who asked not to be named because of safety reasons,
I'm sure,
said that a man below Jack's flat rushed out after hearing noises and found his body on the floor, after which he raised the alarm. His bedroom door was kicked open, he was on the floor, and the lower half of his body was covered with a duvet. Sure. We assume that when he heard the door being kicked down, he jumped out of bed, especially with 14 shots being fired. On the bed, there were 4 or 5 rounds. Good heavens. Mm. This country really is the Wild West.
Here?
I mean,
jeez.
Huh?
All of these stories are so jarring because they seem so far removed to the lives that you and I may live every single day. But this is literally happening around us all the time.
Yeah, I sometimes... I don't want to know about some of this stuff, but you kind of can't hide your head in the sand either. You have to sort of have some idea. Jacob Gedleyihlekisazuma was in the State Capture Commission yesterday giving testimony.
Yesterday.
He was just absolutely great at being the victim again. Mm-hmm. It's never his fault. He's a good guy. He's being, the people have been trying to kill him. It's just very dangerous out there. His kids can't get work. And I felt like same to me. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Your kids can't get work. Millions of South Africans can't get work because of you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so he's been going on. I don't really think you should pay too much attention to this. The only thing that I thought was interesting was that a lot of analysts are saying, legal analysts are saying, that his testimony yesterday did him no favors if there is going to be a prosecution against him. He basically opened up and spilled the beans and tried to defend himself, but did so in such a cumbersome manner that he's likely to end up with a much easier job being constructed for prosecutors when they come to prosecute him eventually. So he should probably have just stayed away. Mm. He should have just been uncooperative, and his lawyers should have advised him as such. But his lawyers have no idea.
No, and also I've never seen him do the right thing in every situation. So. No.
There are a couple of other news stories that we need to look at this morning. Do you want to know which ones are important?
Go for it.
Suprama Humapelo, while we're talking about Jacob Zuma. He, of course, of the province of the Northwest, where he was premier for some time.
And his wife.
Who?
Oh, I'm thinking of Hifikepunye Pohambo.
Yeah, no, it's not Suprama Humapelo.
Oh, sorry, forgive me.
Yeah, you're thinking of Namibia. But that would be Hifikepunye Pohamba and his wife Penehupifo Pohamba.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I don't even think he's still president of Namibia. No. Let's look him up. Anyway, Supra, who was the premier of the Northwest, is praising the former president. He says South Africa became better during the time of Jacob Zuma. Mm. Mahumapelo says Zuma's tenure was not wasted time.
Okay. Or backwards time.
Of course, it just coincides very neatly with the time that Supra was premier of the of Northwest, and while he was still in favor and had power. Now Supra is about to be one of those names that will either end up in a criminal list or that will be forgotten to the dust of history, as it well should be. So he's there standing up saying, oh no, but those were the glory days. I mean, how dare you, really?
Very credible words coming from Supra.
Yeah, from a very credible person. Trust me, this is one of the last times you'll hear from that dude. No one cares. Economists say the South African Reserve Bank rate cut is likely to happen. That sounds like it could be good news for people. Interest rates being cut?
Yeah. Ooh,
especially if you owe more money than you have.
Which is everybody, really.
Yeah. Economists are expecting the Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee this week to announce a reduced repo rate for the first time since March in 2018. The central bank's recently reappointed governor, Lesetse Kganyago, is set to announce the repo rate on Thursday in Pretoria at about 3 o'clock.
Did our petrol price drop like as was promised in July? I missed it.
I didn't notice.
I filled up here. Google will know. Hey, Google.
No, it did drop. And I think it might have dropped again because I was riding to work this morning. Yeah. And because I drive a diesel car, so I'm always looking out the cheaper petrol stations for diesel. And I think it's the BP on Rivonia here. It looks like it's gone down again.
Well, hold on to that because the petrol price is going up again in August.
Thanks for ruining the moment,
Leanne. I don't understand why people get excited.
They give you a carrot with one hand and then the stick is coming shortly after.
Just carry on putting petrol in as normal. It'll all round off in the end. It's going to go up and down and up and down. It's just a game.
No, actually, it's just been steadily going up for the longest time.
Well, that's true.
Over time,
But when they announce a drop, it's going to go up even more.
All right, so those are the main stories in the news this morning. None of them particularly exciting and all political. But I do have a message from Riette here who says that this is fun. You know, people listen to us, and Riette's been listening for a long time. She says, I've been listening for years. My teenage daughter had to put up with the obsession of me listening every morning on my way to drop her off. When I quote interesting things from the show, she'd say, oh, Mom, don't believe everything that the Gareth Cliff Show says. She says, F Generation Z.
All right.
Thank you, Riette. I'm glad you choose us over Generation Z.
Well, choosing us over your own daughter, that says a lot.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Good for her. Daughter's a moron. Ruth says, thousands of hours are wasted every day due to spectator traffic. They should have a system to cover the accident with a screen to eliminate, although she says illuminate, the spectator factor. was stuck in traffic from Joburg to Pretoria for nearly 3 hours. Yeah, I feel your pain, Ruth. It's just ridiculous, like how rubbernecking is responsible for most of this. Mm. It is none of your business. You just happen to be on a nearby piece of road. You do not need to involve yourself by slowing down and looking. What do you want to see, a body? Go to the morgue.
And if people say, yeah, but people can't help themselves. Yes, you can, because if I can do it, then you can too.
I don't need to look.
If you can just keep your gaze forward and all focus I on
do,
the road.
All I want to do is get past the accident. I don't actually give a shit what happened. I'm sorry, is that wrong?
No, it isn't.
That's the right way to behave.
Thought like you, we'd have clearer roads.
The other side of the highway yesterday, when I was stuck for an hour and a half, and there was a truck that crashed into the center barrier or whatever. The other side, people, they were leaning out of their cars. Mm. Their necks were stretched like aliens. They couldn't get enough of this. I don't know what you're expecting to see. There were no bodies by the looks of things. I mean, I whizzed past once I was there. Mm. They didn't look like there were any bodies or paramedics. So it was just a broken down truck. Now, if you like broken down trucks so much, go to a dump. Go to a yard. Go and see some twisted steel and metal if it turns you on so much. Don't make it everyone else's problem, right?
Well, the reason why I asked you what time you were stuck in this traffic was because I was meant to have dinner at 7 p.m. yesterday in Midrand. And just as I was getting ready to leave, and I actually had put the address in my navigator at 6:30.
Yeah.
The navigator had said that it will take me 45 minutes to get to Midrand. And I thought, well, no, yeah, that's a little odd. And I look at the journey I was meant to take and it was all in red, meaning there was bumper-to-bumper traffic. So even you were feeling it at around 3 and it was still
bad
there
at
6.
Well, I have to say also that thank God for these apps that we have now. They are the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
Waze tells you there's what's going on so that you can get an idea of how long you might be stuck for.
It gives you another route. Yeah.
And you kind of have to sit and deal with it from then on. But it's nice to know that these technological developments are making it possible for you to read the terrain a little bit better.
I always see when it comes up on my GPS that there's an accident and it offers me an alternative route. I wonder if it's telling everybody behind me the same thing, because we all seem to take, and then you end up with heaviness on that side, and it's like unbalanced.
Do you guys realize why two wheels are better than four sometimes?
I do. I thought about you.
Now?
Yeah, I was sitting in this traffic this morning, and I thought about you because a guy whizzed past me on a bike, and I was like, "Wow, lucky
bastard." You don't have to be frustrated, eh?
Yeah, but then you don't always drive a bike. You're sometimes in a car as well.
Yeah,
so.
Well.
Yeah, you're not so bloody clever.
I don't mean to sound like the 24-year-old that I am, but speaking about apps, I don't know how people were driving around like 20 years ago. I really don't understand. If you were going for dinner somewhere that you've never been before, did you honestly have to grab your car keys as you left the house, your lipstick, your bag, your wallet, and your map? Were you driving with a map to dinner?
Hmm.
This
is it.
I can't imagine that. Now you don't even put any thought into it. You just type in the name of the restaurant.
In the old days, people used to have maps, but they would also plot the route beforehand. They'd be like, take down directions. And before we had phones, people used to have to find their way. There was no way. If you got lost, you just have to keep looking until you found it.
Imagine.
Yeah. Imagine actually being responsible enough to plot a route. Imagine those days when we didn't even have maps, like these explorers who would go to the sea and then they'd just keep sailing until they found land. Uh-huh. Think about that.
Yeah.
The GPS.
No, I don't have that patience. I don't think I'd lead such a social life if that was the case.
No, you'd probably just stay at home.
Yeah, if you had to spend a good 30 minutes before and plotting the journey.
Just a quick thing. We're busy planning what the show is going to look like and sound like over the next couple of months. And, you know, with Ben's departure, there are a lot of things that have opened up and that we've got the opportunity to change now. So, you know, again, if you have any suggestions to this, because I always say that we take our lead from you if you listen to us, you can email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. We've got some very good ideas, some really interesting ways that we're going to fashion the show to kind of make it work a little bit better. And again, to get it into the podcast mold rather than the radio mold, which is something that I've been very keen to do for the longest time. We're producing some really interesting series at the moment. People love them. Those are taking off like you cannot believe. And the idea of radio is just so unappealing to me at the moment. And doing a live show as it is this is the only live show that we're still, you know, doing on a daily basis. And maybe it's an opportunity for us to chuck things up into the air and see how they land. I'm always keen to change. Change is inevitable, and it's exciting. Don't get upset by it.
Change.
No, I don't sing.
Oh. Damn it.
Totally unnecessary. All right.
Was that Stevie Wonder?
No, it was a... Wasn't it a woman?
Okay, never mind.
That didn't go so well.
It's going to annoy me now if I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for bringing up road safety. Thinking about others, rubbernecking, etc. Can you guys put a nice Cliff Central phone holder for a car? Cheap one, bright yellow. Ooh. Clips onto the air vent. You know what? When we did our earphones, which, you know, we sold out and then we decided the products weren't ready for us. We also did a charger, car charger, but we decided not to market that and not to sell it. And I know there are lots of these gimmicks. You can buy cheap ones now anyway. Why do you need it to be branded with Cliff Central for?
What makes you hesitant?
Well, I always think if you are in the business of creating, in our case, content, you shouldn't be making a car product. If you are a restaurant that does fish, don't also do ribs. You gotta be good at one thing.
What about, excuse me, what about surf and turf?
Yeah, I don't like that.
No, it's horrible. It's horrible.
I really thought you and your carcinous
hair. No, thank you.
No, but it's like you don't go to a traditional Italian restaurant and order a steak.
Yeah, it's not really what you do. Look, forgive me, I'm a bit of a purist in that respect, but I always think if you're a retailer, then be a retailer. If you're a restaurant, be a restaurant. Don't try to be a restaurant, a drive-through, and a retailer. You're doing too much, and you can't be good at all of those things.
Yeah, well, you know, go ahead and do it, but the quality might not uphold with all of those things. We're trying to uphold our quality.
Look, I'm never going to tell anyone else what to do, but don't expect me to be selling air vent car holders anytime soon. It's not really my thing.
So if we do that, we must know that your business is rough.
Yeah, Craig. No, I appreciate the idea, Craig. And obviously, you know, from a marketing point of view, there are always lots of cool things flying around. But we don't pick up on all of them because some of them we don't really want to get into. There's lots of stuff that we need to talk about this morning. And you can get hold of us if you'd like to Skype Cliff Central one word. If you want to get hold of us on our WhatsApp line. And maybe you can even send us a voice note, 079-748-2090.
But please Skype us during show hours.
So are people Skyping the rest of the time? So what happens? Have you got it on your phone?
I have our Cliff Central Skype account open on my phone.
Uh-oh.
Just because sometimes, you know, if I'm preparing a guest who's coming up and I can test the line while I'm at home and they can just call straight to my phone. But there are like three listeners who I now know by name. And if there's someone who hates me who hears this, they'll now probably do this just to annoy me just a bit more. But these three people, I think it's because when they listen to the podcast in their own time, they're like, I want to let them know what I think. And so they'll call it like 10 p.m. on a Thursday.
Oh, no.
And my phone just
goes off. So you don't answer, do you?
No, I don't. I'm not going to have a conversation with people.
You could make lots of new friends, yeah?
But Leanne, sometimes I'm just trying to sleep.
Hey, Sia let slip that he's meeting random people who are moving into his complex.
No.
Oh, yes.
That was a neighbor of mine.
Yeah.
It's not someone who I'm indulging in that way. So please just call us, but, you know, between 6 and 8 in the mornings, South African time.
Joe Biden is mouthing off because he's obviously going to run against Trump in the upcoming election in 2020. And Trump said some stuff yesterday which got people, every time this guy opens his mouth, there are people like have to put out the flames on their backs. They just get so crazily incensed. Donald Trump basically said that there are these Democratic congresswomen like Ilhan Omar, who's from Somalia, who has lots of advice for how the U.S. should be a better country, but she left Somalia because it's a shithole.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, look, you know, if you don't like the US, go back to Somalia, which I think is a perfectly reasonable thing to say. If someone is living in your country and you are the president of that country and she's an elected congresswoman, which means that she has been chosen by the people of her district to represent them, and all she can do is say how shit America is, and she comes from Somalia?
But
like, she should be front of the queue saying, fantastic country, I'm so lucky I'm here. How can I help?
His tweet was directed at four women.
Yes, and among them, her, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez,
Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley,
right,
and then Omar, who you've spoken about,
right.
But the rest were born in the US.
I thought Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez was born on Venus.
She was born in the Bronx in New York, about 12 miles away from the Queens Hospital where Mr. Trump was born.
Okay.
So I think it's a little bit unacceptable.
So anyway, Joe Biden's come out now and said that this is the most racist president in history. Of course, we could discuss this afterwards, but here's Joe. Listen to Joe.
There has never been a president in American history who's been as so openly racist and divisive.
I don't know. Some of them owned slaves, Joe. Let's talk about that for a second. I don't know that Donald actually owned slaves. Well,
or did they just secretly have these slaves? Didn't speak about it.
There were some presidents who fought for the South who wanted to keep slavery. You know? I don't understand. Like, you cannot be a serious person and say that there has never been a president in history who's more racist than this. And people are so obsessed with this. Like, racism is the final death knell. Like, that's going to put Trump away. He's been called a racist from before he was even elected. And it's done zero to hurt him. Because you know what? Everyone these days is being called a racist online. And this is what I warned about this when that whole situation with Penny Sparrow happened in South Africa. I said, you know what? This woman, she's a crackpot. She's a nutcase. She lives on the south coast of KwaZulu-Natal. No one heard her name. No one cares about her now, obviously. No one cared about her before. Suddenly we made her this important person. And we said, racism. Look at this racist. Sure, she's a racist, but who cares? She's not an important person. Now, everybody's being called a racist for everything. You hear people saying this left, right, and center. You know, when you call everybody a racist, suddenly it doesn't matter that someone's a racist. Donald Trump's had said some terrible things. Terrible things. And, you know, this tweet, this last one yesterday, is just another example. He doesn't care. He rides roughshod over all of it. Your opinion doesn't matter to him anymore. You know why? Because you've been using that term. You're calling him a sexist and a racist and a transphobe and a homophobe. And the more you throw this stuff around like it's confetti, the less punch it has. And when you're punching against someone like Donald Trump, you better have a good punch.
Well, I don't think our opinions have ever mattered to him.
No.
And that has what has led to a lot of his success, in my opinion.
Yes.
And I think constantly Trump is a sobering example for all of us at how he's just there to do the job and isn't there to be liked. What we're so accustomed to now is that we actually have to like someone in a position like his.
Or the pressure is always on to be liked in your daily life.
You go and you kiss babies and you hold your wife's hand.
If someone calls you a racist now, I mean, you're some idiot that you don't know on Instagram or Twitter.
No, it's like clearly there. You have no idea.
But you just let it. It used to bother me. Like, if someone would call me a racist, I'd be really upset by that. Because it's a pretty horrible thing to say. It means that you think someone is the kind of bigot who would judge another person based only on the color of their skin.
Mm.
Right? And you would immediately think you're superior and they're inferior. That's what racism is. Now, it's become so every day on Instagram, social media, Twitter, you know, wherever these trolls live, that now, if someone called me that, I'd go, eh, where's it coming from? I don't care. It doesn't have the bite that it used to have. It's lost its power. And that's a very, very bad thing for actual racism.
Yeah.
Because there are some real dangerous people out there. Like, there are real neo-Nazis, you know? In prisons in America, there are real neo-Nazis. People who have actual swastikas tattooed on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they live it.
Yeah. They're not people who are offering a philosophy on Twitter that might be uneducated and stupid, or someone who says, for example, that they want to make America great again. Oh, you're a Nazi. No, that's not really a Nazi. We've lost the scale.
And I think going back to President Trump's comments of go back to where you come from, you, Gareth, were able to look at the context overall. Yeah. You were able to hear what he's actually saying.
Well, you want to know what the exact quote was? Because I found, I had to look it up. I couldn't believe he would say something like that. But let me just find this for you quickly. Because it really bothered me that everyone was losing their mind about this.
My point is, whereas a lot of people don't do that, they see the surface level, and I don't really know whether it's a good or a bad thing, because, you know, we can't get away from the fact that we as humans are just highly emotional and highly strong most of the time.
Yeah. And that emotional reaction is sometimes just wrong.
But it's just not, yes, in the cases where it is wrong, it is definitely not going to lead to constructive progress of any kind.
Let me just read this. Why don't they go, here's the exact quote, right?
Okay.
Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came? Then come back here and show us how it's done. Now, that would be like me saying, well, clean up your own house before you tell me how to clean up mine. He's the president of the United States, so he represents the United States.
Mm.
He's saying to these Congress people, you guys are full of ideas. Why don't you go make them happen somewhere? And then come back and show me how. It's not suddenly as insulting.
Mm. Yeah, yeah,
but they're not doing that because they're busy fixing the country in which three of them were born.
Well, then that's him being uneducated and ignorant. Mm. But that's nothing new.
And
either.
that's what I bet happened. He didn't check his facts before he tweeted.
I don't think he cares.
I know.
Yeah, I'm thinking of using the word nice. It's not a nice thing to say, but he doesn't care about being nice either.
No. You know, he's not looking for friends.
And he could have said that in a better way, the same way you just paraphrased him. You know, and that sound, and that rolls off like better.
He
didn't care for that at all.
The hysteria is just unbelievable. Why is it important for black parents to talk about racism? There's a thing on Parent 24. Which might be quite interesting. And this is from Craig. He says, we must have a look at that. Okay, I'll take a look. Look, I don't like Trump, but 100% sure the presidents of the 1930s and 40s and all the slave owners were 1,000 times more racist than him. That's from Ash. Yeah, that's my point with Biden. Biden doesn't have, you know, I mean, Joe Biden must remember the Democrats, the party that he's a member of,
mm-hmm.
were the party of slavery. So that means every Republican was less racist than every Democrat at a certain time. Doesn't seem to touch sides with him, though.
Well, Beto O'Rourke, who's also running in 2020, has done this interview about admitting that he's a descendant and his wife is also a descendant of slave owners. Well, but he's now trying to say, you know, we have benefited off the backs of so many lives and we are correcting that now. And just sounds a bit too tacky for my liking. It sounds disingenuous.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, he's just pandering. It's called pandering.
Yeah, now that's using anything
yeah.
that he can lay his hands on for extra support or extra
viewers. It's pathetic, it's pandering, and it's just, we can all see through it. I mean, these people who do lip service like that, it's just so insulting. That is patronizing beyond belief.
Mm. So he says exactly, I was recently given documents showing that both Amy, his wife, and I are descended from people who own slaves.
Where?
I mean.
Where?
When this came to light, we felt really strongly. And he felt really strongly
great,
that this
Beto
was a story
we're also
that he
moved
wanted
by
to
this.
Tell.
Yeah, you see, these people who, like, they flagellate themselves in public thinking it's going to get them virtue points. Nobody cares, dude. You're not going to win the Democratic candidacy. You've got no chance in hell. Elizabeth Warren's got a better chance than you do. Bye-bye.
They're looking for any angle.
Any angle.
I don't know how this is going to help him, because to me it says, all right, so you have now had this newfound revelation, and so what?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting email, a message that we've just got on our WhatsApp lines from Tumelos. Tumelos says, speaking of ideas, I listen to Beats One Radio every day at 3 p.m. and I'm hooked. My playlist is full of British hip-hop, grime music is what they call it. They have this thing about showcasing new artists. They play music trivia games and genuinely are having a lot of fun. What if Cliff Central had a similar segment like that in the afternoon? Mainstream radio like TV always features the same people all the time. We kind of need something fresh. I'm a music lover, so anything music-related is worth a listen to me. Cliff Central is already the best podcast in South Africa. Why not transition into a streaming radio service? Because technically, right now, this is not a podcast. It's radio. It becomes a podcast after you guys finish your hourly
that's
slots.
True.
Yeah. Well, that's also why we've really streamlined and taken off so many of the live shows. And we don't do music because I don't really know that there's that much more value can be added that'll make it personal enough for you, Tumelo. You go on and you choose your own playlist. And most people do this. I'll listen to the same song 3-4 times and I won't get bored. And then suddenly one week I'll have enough of that song and I never want to hear it again. And you might be the same. You might like a certain song. You might like a certain genre. But playlisting for you, that's very old school. I can't choose your music for you. And doing a music show just seems like a step backwards. All right. Lots of things to get to. It's 7 o'clock now.
Why don't you choose some music for us?
Well, why don't I? You know what, Tumelo? Why don't you choose the song? Message me right now and I'll play whatever you want.
Pressure.
Come on.
Whatever.
You know, Gugu's never chosen a song. What do you want?
Hey. You're putting me under pressure now.
Yeah, exactly.
Tumelo is the one.
No, let's judge you.
Give him 2 seconds.
Let's judge you.
No, man.
Come on.
Okay, let's pick a hip-hop song that Tumelo might like.
Why are you assuming Tumelo's into hip-hop?
He spoke. Didn't Garrett say something about hip-hop?
Okay. Listen to this. Someone's just sent me a song and said we should play this for anyone who deserves it. So I'm assuming this is probably going to be something rude. You want to hear it?
Uh-oh. Right. No.
Yeah, here we are. Listen to this.
This is CliffCentral.com.